coming up on BYU Football with Kalani Sitake. For the fifth consecutive season, the Cougars are 2-0 after a Friday night decision in Dallas. Next up, it's a trip to Laramie for the first time in 15 years. And we'll look ahead to that with Kalani and defensive end Tyler Batty next on BYU TV and ESPN+.
BYU Football with Kalani Sitake is presented by Intermountain Health, official medical provider of BYU Athletics.
Yes, welcome to the program. Hello, good evening once again, Cougar Nation. Welcome back inside Studio C at the BYU Broadcasting Building on the BYU campus in Provo, Utah. It is our Week 3 edition of BYU Football with Kalani Sitake. We are live and on demand via the BYU TV and BYU Radio apps and ESPN+. Coming up on tonight's broadcast, we'll look back on Friday night's big win in Big D. We will also look ahead to Saturday night's battle at War Memorial as the Cougars clash with the Cowboys in Laramie. Deep Blue will profile starting center Connor Pay. Defensive end Tyler Batty will be our in-studio guest. We'll have some Q&A with Coach and Tyler and a weekly BYU football trivia question, among other things. Well, they say, it's not how you start, it's how you finish. But this guy has the starts figured out. In each of his last three seasons, he has opened 2-0. Please welcome in the head coach of the BYU Cougars, Kalani Sitake.
Well, my friend.
All right. Welcome back.
Good to be back.
Good to be 2-0.
Yeah, I had to rush over here. I'm a little out of breath.
Was practice a little long? Or what?
Well, I didn't run. I drove, but I mean, I just had to go a little fast, though. Yeah, practice went a little long, but it's okay. We had some extra work to do, so I'm excited.
Nice to do work, knowing you got a positive result in your last game. That's two wins in two games for you.
Yeah, I mean, I think a couple weeks ago, we were just excited to get to the season, and now that we're here, I'm really excited to get to the next game. And, I'm glad that we won the game, but I'm more excited about playing our best football, and I'm looking forward to us doing that in all three phases this weekend.
You get the support of BYU fans here in the building every week, and you get the support of Cougar Nation when you go on the road, and it was no different Friday night in Dallas. Great support, a lot of royal blue in the stands there at SMU, and you got to spend some time with those fans after the game, which is always fun.
Yeah, amazing fans, and I wish I could have spent more time with them. Saw a lot of the faces that I remember when we did our fireside earlier in the spring. And so it was really cool to connect with a lot of them again. But they made a lot of noise for us, and then they represented really well. And I was really excited that we were able to get the win from them. I just wanted to make it a little bit more comfortable next time. But we'll take it. I mean, it was a gritty win. It was a grind. And we kind of needed that as a team, go through it. And now that we got that done with, I want to really improve to this week. And there's a lot of things for us to get better, and that's in all three phases. I know a lot of the attention goes to the offense. This is BYU, but the defense did a great job. But there's still some things that we could fix. And I know I'm talking to the coaches. We haven't played our best ball yet. I'd like to see us play our best ball this weekend and then see where we go from there.
There's a lot of value, though, in those kinds of wins where you deal with adversity and come out on the right side. It was a grind, and they were a team playing really good football at home, and you were double-digit underdogs, and you were on the road at a power conference team. There was a lot to like about winning 18-15.
Yeah, and it was up and down quite a bit, and we make a big play, and then we turn the ball over, and then we hold them to a field goal, and then we turn the ball over and get the ball back. And there's so many different the vicissitudes of football.
Whoa!
I mean? Yeah, that's a word I learned and I never forgot. Just in case that and mitochondria for Jeopardy. But anyways, there's a lot of great things that happened in that game. It's a lot easier to look back at it because you won the game, but you have to really take advantage of the learning opportunities. And so sometimes when you lose games, you make a mountain out of a molehill, and sometimes when you win games, you don't reflect on the things that you can improve on. So I think we're a lot harder on our players after a win, because you can be, and then those are great opportunities. We're about love and learn, so we need to find a way to maximize opportunity for us to learn, and that I think is going to help us improve this week.
I'll throw a number at you and have you maybe try and explain it. Since you've been the head coach here at BYU, you've had a short week Friday game on the road five times, meaning you play on a Saturday and you got a Friday game the next week away. You're 5-0 in those games. What goes into that kind of success?
I mean, I wish I could give you the formula. I think we have a good group of young men that understand. For some reason, when you have a shortened week, the sense of urgency is a lot quicker. Comes a lot quicker. So everything matters because you don't have as much time. So there's no procrastination. It's like let's get better now. So that's good. I mean, we should probably just plan on having a short week every time. We should just pretend like that's the key. But I would have to say, I have to give a lot of credit to our players. I get to coach mature young men. These guys have served missions, the majority of them. So they've been on their own before, and they've been in adversity before. They've had to learn, been uncomfortable before. So playing a game a day earlier is not too much to overcome.
Well, with Friday's 18-15 win, BYU is now 5-0 all time against SMU. Let's take a look back at their meeting in the Metroplex. These highlights are presented by Waystar. BYU and SMU last Friday at Gerald J. Ford Stadium in Dallas, Texas. It was a hot, humid day and night. And defense took the field first because SMU won the toss and said, we want the football. Well, Jack Kelly wanted the football, and it belonged to the quarterback, and Jack took care of that, and that was series one.
Yeah, that was fun. I mean, get the three and out and have the defense flying high, especially when SMU wanted the ball.
And Mataba Tase scores his second touchdown in as many weeks. BYU takes the lead. This was back and forth, and both teams making plays defensively all night. Both teams had three takeaways on the night. A lot of good defensive players on both sides.
Yeah, and then I'm glad our guys made some plays, but you have to give a lot of credit to SMU's front. It's one of the best D-lines in college football.
It really, and I won't be surprised if a couple of those guys play at the next level.
That's right.
Harrison Taggart with a pass breakup. And on special teams, you've always got to be aware. And Jack Kelly, will say his name again. He followed the bouncing ball, took a bounce off into Mustang there. And the Cougars had a short field possession after the special teams play. BYU was stopped, I believe, on a 4th-and-1 on the ensuing sequence. Here's that play. And, tough sledding.
Yeah, didn't like our third and fourth and short offensively. You know, we got to execute better than that. Way too many bodies in the backfield.
One of a few big plays for SMU on the night, Jalen Naton. We go to the third quarter. BYU was trailing 9-7 at the break. This is a nice yak play from Darius Lassiter.
Yeah, I mean, we've been waiting for this guy to come along. So he had to sit out the first game, but now that he's here and he's ready to go, we got to find ways to get him the ball because he can do some special things with it. And obviously, he's hard to tackle.
Jake Retzloff was trying to make a play here. And again, you don't fault him for wanting to make a play. It was just one that probably he needed to eat in that instance.
Yeah, sometimes you just cut your losses and you just take the sack, and he's got to make better decisions in that situation.
Jake,
I love this play.
Yeah, decides to throw downfield to Mataba Tase. Tase with a leap and sets BYU. He's had a really nice start to the season. And then Enoch Nawahine on a 4th-and-2 from the 9 scores a huge touchdown for
big
BYU.
Big-time play.
And then the 2-point conversion to Keanu.
Yeah, I think this sequence of plays worked out really well for us, and that's the kind of level of execution we need from our team.
SMU was trailing 15-12. This is a fortuitous bounce of the ball that went the Mustang. Nice punch out, but it gets right back to the ball carrier.
Yeah,
the Mustangs.
That happens, but you know we can't give up those big plays.
So you have to make a big play of your own defensively. Mark Collins with the pick.
Yeah, I mean, we've been encouraging our coach that told him that he had the dream of it to have more dreams. That'd be great.
Big play by Braden Kime here to keep that player out of the end zone, by the way.
Yeah, and that was huge for us. And then I think they got a holding call. And then
this is the next play.
Yeah, and looked like he was trying to pitch it to number 8. And,
yeah.
And it's good awareness by Jacob Robinson to see that play and, you know, just recover it and then let the replay board, people up top, figure it out.
This is your play of the game. 4th-and-1 on your side of the field and the option to Miles Davis.
Yeah, awesome play. This is how we should execute all our stuff, you know. And when all 11 guys are doing their job, and Jake held the ball just in the right amount of time and then pitched it out.
All right, 2 minutes to go. And Will Farron with the points that give BYU the lead. And we'll take one more defensive play to give BYU the win, and it came on 4th-and-10.
Yeah, this is a great job by the defense after a mistake that we had on covering the kickoff. But they got the ball on the 40 and went 4 and out. That's great defense.
You were pleased, and BYU got to kneel it out, and the Cougs go to 2-0. Here are final stats from the game. In the win over SMU, presented by Smarty, you see BYU holding a pretty prolific offensive attack to under 300 yards and no touchdowns on the night. The first time in 8 years they had not scored a touchdown in a game. That was doing a lot because that team was rolling at home during their 9-game win streak at home.
Yeah, I thought the defense played such a great game, and even though there were some mistakes, overall, you look at the way the guys played, the energy, the effort, the entire team. I mean, there was a lot of belief on that we were going to come out with the win, and just felt good to finally secure it at the end.
You've allowed 13 points and 15 points in your first two games. You keep numbers like that, you win a lot of games.
Yeah, and we just need to score more points and get more plays. And I mean, I'm being greedy here, but I want to see us put some games away early and play our style of football, you know. And I think we had a chance to really capitalize on some opportunities that we had here in this game, and the defense was playing really nicely, and you know, we've got to find a way to play more complementary football and execute at a high level. When all three phases are doing that, we're going to be a tough team to beat.
Well, BYU defensive coordinator Jay Hill selected two defensive players of the game from Friday night. One was corner Mark Collins, who we saw had that nifty fourth quarter interception. The other is our guest inside the film room. Here now is defensive tackle Blake Mangelson with our Jerem Jordan.
Okay, this was an outstanding defensive performance. A million great stats, right? What did you like the most about that performance defensively?
We were very physical across the line. I mean, guys were flying around making plays, and when guys made mistakes, the guys were flying around to, you know, pick up on that mistake. But I think we out-physicaled them and just dominated the front.
This is a TFL on Burchard Smith. They were trying to get him the ball a lot. You gave him a hard time here.
Yep. So right now I'm reading that tackle. As he tried reaching me, I climbed the block back into that guard and was mostly just trying to get knocked back there. And as you can see, Harrison Taggart coming out outside to scrape over the top. But overall, I thought I played well right here. And biggest thing is that knockback bellies the running back and results in a TFL.
Does it feel good when you've done your job and then you kind of feel a backer coming up to finish him off?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, it's awesome. We set each other up for plays, and when we're working together, and it's very cohesive, and big plays like this happen.
Similar situation in the second play we'll look at. This is a sack for you.
So on this one, me and Harrison, again, we had a little game going on, just a little twist game where he goes first, I go second. I realize the whole line's washing down, and I just get vertical. I was supposed to hit the A gap after he hits that B gap, but I kind of read out of it, just start playing ball, and Jack Kelly on the edge sets me up as well, and we make a big play right there at the first of the game.
In that moment, I don't think Jack's mad. Obviously, he wants to get a sack.
But right.
Like, he held him up, and then you finished him off, right? You right. Guys are great teammates that way, it seems like.
Yeah, that's the coolest part about defense. It's if one guy's making a play, the other guy's at least, you know, helping out to make that play. But, I appreciate all those backers. And just like in the game, too, I helped Glasker set up for a sack as well, so.
Great teammates. Okay, second quarter now. You stretch out for another TFL.
Right here, just playing a four-eye right here, reading that tackle. And then, I see the pullers, so I'm thinking of power. And, I just take a risk there and come inside. That long arm knock back and then snap off and make a good play on number one there.
Okay, big game at Wyoming. Obviously, the Cowboys haven't had the results that they wanted, have struggled a bit starting 0-2, but you want to go in there and renew an old WAC Mountain West Conference rivalry. How are you feeling about playing in Laramie against Wyoming Saturday?
Yeah, I'm really excited. I think Wyoming's going to come out. I mean, they're going to be gaming. They're going to be, they're coming off of 0-2 to start the season, and, they're looking for their first win, and I know they're going to come out, and just like the rivalries, it's just smash mouth football. So I'm excited and ready to get out to Laramie.
Okay, Blake, can't wait to watch Saturday. Thanks for the time, man.
Appreciate you.
All right, Blake Mangelson's been with you a while, playing some of his best football as a Cougar for sure right now.
Yeah, he's had to change positions. I mean, we've had such great talent out there with Batty and the others at DN for so long that we've kind of used him quite a bit at different places. And he's so tough that we asked him to gain some weight and put him at D tackle, and he quickly did that. And so I think he's found a new home there, and he just reminds me of like the old country kids that we've had in the past, like Brett Kiesel, and mm-hmm. that same type of country toughness, you know. And it's good to have him and Batty up there, you know, doing their stuff. So I'm really excited to see what he can do more. I mean, he's only played 2 games of D-tackle for us right now.
Sometimes not a lot of glory at D-tackle, but he's finding a way to put up numbers, which is maybe sometimes hard to do with that position.
Yeah, and you guys give him opportunities to be on TV and to talk about his style.
He's getting all kinds of puff now.
I don't know how many people were really, really excited about that, but that you could tell he was really excited about being physical. And we encourage him to take chances, but you know, they got to be calculated. And if you're going to do it, you might as well make the play. So that I like the vocabulary that he's using there, and that's how we teach these guys.
He and John Nelson make a great starting duo inside for you, for sure. Well, coming up, BYU travels to Laramie to take on the Wyoming Cowboys for the 80th time all time outside the state of Utah State. Wyoming is the team BYU's faced the most in its football history. 0-2, they had the Arizona State game to open. We now see that ASU is pretty darn good, right? And then Idaho, well, you lose at home to an FCS team, but Idaho had a really good shot against Oregon the week before. So a couple of good teams that have beaten Wyoming with their first-year head coach. He was a D coordinator under Craig Bohl. He's now the head man. And they're just not getting a lot going right now on offense. You want to keep it that way.
Yeah, I mean, but they're a dangerous team, and we respect our opponents. They return a lot of the same guys that played last year for them that took them to a bowl game. They believe they won 9 games last year.
9-4.
A really successful team. And then Craig Bowles, his fingerprints are all over this program. So, you know, they're going to be tough. And like I say every week, we're going to get their best shot. We just got to make sure they get ours.
And Coach Bowles' son, I think, is now the new defensive coordinator at
Wyoming. He is, and he does
a
great job with them, too. Yeah. So there's a lot of carryover in the program.
All right, Cougars and Cowboys, you see it there, CBS Sports Network and BYU Radio on Saturday night. As we break, this reminder that your day-to-day Cougar sports play-by-play happens on BYU Sports Nation with Spencer and Jerem weekdays at noon Eastern on BYU TV and BYU Radio. When we come back, Deep Blue will profile BYU starting center Connor Pay, who is also a team captain for the Cougars, and Tyler Batty will join us live in studio. And BYU football with Kalani Sitake continues back after this.
BYU football with Kalani Sitake is brought to you by Intermountain Health, official medical provider for BYU athletics, Waystar, and Breeze, the official hometown airline of BYU athletics, in partnership with the San Bernardino International Airport.
Welcome back to BYU football with Kalani Sitake. Well, the passing away of someone important to him shook Connor Pay's foundation of faith, but it was a neighbor's charity and example that restored that foundation and magnified his role as a leader. Here now, a Deep Blue profile of BYU center and team captain, Connor Pay.
My grandpa was a huge, huge role model.
He's just one of those guys that everyone loves, but the grandkids really love. It wasn't like he ever did anything spectacular or magical, but he was there. He was there and he loved them.
When they got to come up on their mission and they were called here to Utah in the Family History Library, and it was kind of a 9-to-5 gig. They could come to all the games. They got to see all the sports, which my dad loved watching sports. He'd be in heaven watching them right now.
My dad had called all the kids into the living room. That's when I was like, oh man, okay, this is, I don't know what it is, but you know, it's something serious is going on. He just said, hey, you know, grandpa's been feeling pretty sick lately. They went to the hospital and he's got cancer, stage 4 lymphoma.
He was up at Huntsman at the Cancer Institute and kind of in and out, you know, of being released almost, get home, couple days, be back. And so there was never a process where he really kind of got out of the hospital from that point on. So yeah, it was pretty sudden. And to make the decision that he had to make, which was he had the options of you're gonna die in a month, a very terrible and painful death, or you just stop dialysis and over 3 days, you're gonna drift off. and that's what he chose to do.
I felt like I was just learning how to have a relationship with God and what that actually meant, you know, to pray to him and to feel like you're receiving answers and kind of learning for the first time, like how to do that. And I remember just kneeling down and just praying probably the hardest I'd ever prayed and just asking for a miracle that he would be okay because our family needed him here. I got an overwhelming feeling and sensation that he would be okay and that he would live. I remember distinctly, you know, probably one of the only times in my life where I feel like I've had a prayer answered that way, maybe the only time. And I remember just feeling such a profound sense of peace and that I could go out there and I could face my grandpa and there were no tears, you know, because I knew that God had just told me he was gonna be okay. And I went to bed that night with a smile on my face. And then I woke up and he was dead. And, you know, that, that was hard. That was hard. You know, probably for the first time in my life that I felt like God really spoke to me. And in that moment, the next day of realizing he was gone, the only realization I could come to was that I must have come up with those feelings on my own and that it was fake. It wasn't real. It's like all this stuff, all this time I spent trying to learn how God answers prayers, it didn't work.
I mean, Connor, yeah, he kept it pretty reserved. We really didn't know how much he was struggling. I think because he was busy and he was doing football and he was doing basketball and he was doing baseball and he was student and his social, like, I don't know that we picked up on any cues.
It's like I was still going to church because that's what our family did. You know, that's we went to church. And it's not that I hated church. I didn't necessarily like it after this moment because I hear all these people telling all these stories about how much God has helped them. And I'm in my mind, I'm sitting in the chair well, like, yeah, well, that dude abandoned me, so... You know, I don't really care about your story. I became pretty bitter. There was a new guy moved into the ward, and he was assigned to be an advisor in the young men's group that I was in. Gosh, I hated his guts at first. He was pestering me all the time about mutual, about my life, and like, you know, trying to be my friend.
You work all this time, and it is a very thankless job. Like, you spend a lot of time in the trenches with these boys, and you have no idea if they're even listening to you. You don't necessarily know where that train's going to take that kid because he gets to choose that. That's the beauty of this whole system, right?
You know, I started to notice, you know, the faith he had in the Savior. Like, all right. You know, like, I'm not super big on that whole thing right now. I get that it's working for you, but maybe there's some other way that I can still, you know, be like this guy without having to go back into that realm that I already know, without a doubt, isn't real. And so I you know, tried to, like, snake around, like, there's gotta be a different way why this guy's like this. And so slowly started saying prayers again, kind of working my way back into things. And all of a sudden, I started to feel myself starting to form a relationship with God again. It kind of just started to blossom from there, and then, you know, kind of grew throughout my senior year leading up to mission papers. And I'd heard so many people say, like, even if you don't really know 100% how you feel or what you know is true, what better way to find out than to go and serve a mission? You're going to discover one of two things. Either it's real or it's not. You know, so go find out.
He is a spiritual giant, and I do give him that title not just because of his size. I think his spirit's larger than his size, probably triple. He's just really my hero.
I think about that a lot, you know, like why would I have gotten that feeling? I think in some ways I still don't know fully. Maybe God just knew that I was going to be very hard-headed and stubborn and opinionated, and I needed something like that to get me to this point now.
Even though that was hard for him, That was probably one of the best things that could have ever happened to him. And why would I want my father-in-law to pass away for that to happen? But I know if he were sitting here today, he would be cheering Connor on, and he'd be like, way to go. You did it. You worked through this hard thing.
When you see your own child is going through some stuff, to say, I'm going to turn to the Savior as my solace, you know, as my comfort. He's done great things with his life, and it makes me happy to watch that, and I know how great things going forward, and he'll be a great father someday.
There's going to come a time where you're going to be backed up against the wall, and you have to figure out what you believe, whether or not God is real, whether or not he loves you, whether or not he had a son who suffered and died for you. When you're in the deepest, darkest, most miserable times of your life, that's when a testimony, a real testimony of the atonement of Jesus Christ is born. Because that's the only time you feel in the teeniest, tiniest little way, just a sliver of what Christ felt for you. And I had to go through that, and it sucked. But I know without a shadow of a doubt now that he's there and he's real and he loves me and he's there for me. And I love him.
You know a lot of the stories that are part of your players' lives. I know you're glad that we get to share them, too, with Cougar Nation.
Yeah, I'm just really proud of Connor being able to share that with everyone. And it's not easy to share that, but I think he has a lot of courage. I think a lot of people can relate to what he's shared with us today. And this is the kind of leader that I get to have, that I get to coach. He is a legacy kid. His dad played for Lavelle. Mm-hmm. And so, I mean, he's what BYU is all about, and I'm just honored to be his coach and to know his family and be their friends.
There's on-field leadership. That's one of the reasons he's a captain. And then there's the things that make, you know, a man a leader, and you see some of those things that show up in Connor's story.
Yeah, he's super special, and, yeah. And I mean, these are all wonderful young men that I get to be around. So I'm so proud of him, and I'm really, really proud of him sharing that tonight. That was awesome.
It was. Well, last week, our Deep Blue player profile brought us the story of senior captain Tyler Batty, who shook off a serious injury as a teenager to excel as a Division I player at BYU. And through two games of what will be his final season in Provo, Tyler is displaying his trademark tenacity in leading BYU to a 2-0 record. Please welcome into Studio C defensive end Tyler Batty. I just mentioned that we got to see a story about you last week. Did you get to see that story about you?
Yeah, it was. That was really cool.
What were your thoughts when you were watching it?
That's a tough question. I think there were a lot of different thoughts, you know, going through my head. I think it was cool to be able to just tell a little bit about myself, just kind of tell that piece of my history. So it was really cool.
And now that you are at this stage of your career, looking back at that time, how do you kind of assess the journey you've been on?
It's been fun, that's for sure. I think you know, it's been long, you know, a long time coming, but it's been really fun and really rewarding.
Why are you back for one more season here at BYU?
We had some unfinished business, didn't we?
That's
yeah.
Right.
Yeah, so.
Because when the season ended last year, I'm sure there are people maybe telling you now's the right time to take it to the next level. You certainly had the skill and the ability, and it had to be a consideration. Can you take us a little bit into your thought and decision process?
Yeah, absolutely. You know, I think, we finished that Oklahoma State game, and, you know, I in some ways I felt like there was a little note of finality there, that was kind of it, and that, you know, that had wrapped up, you know, my 4 years at BYU, and that it was time to move on. You know, my wife can attest to this. The next, like, 48, 72 hours post-game was just kind of a roller coaster of emotions. And, you know, we're leaving, we're staying. And at the end of the day, I just, you know, didn't feel great about leaving and just felt, again, like we left a lot on the table and that, yeah, we had unfinished business. So there was still stuff to take care of.
Kalani, were you kind of letting Tyler be, you know, with his own thoughts at that time? Were you telling him things that maybe you hoped he wanted to hear or you wanted him to know from you?
I was giving him space, but I wanted Jay Hill to, I was sending other coaches to get to him. I think he already knows me. I mean that, but I want him to know that I want what's best for him, and if we can work on this together and figure it out, but Batty just took control of his destiny and said, you know what, I feel really good about it. I remember we were in staff meeting, and he just opened the door and we're like, oh, we got you know kind of shocked that he was there, and he's just like, I'm staying. Let's do this. And I'm like, okay, there we go. Like, did you confirm this with your wife? And he said, yeah. And he felt really good about it, and we felt great about it. So this is, I mean, he had every reason to leave, but he knew that there's something that he wanted to get done here. And he's done a great job since then of being such a great leader for our team. He's always been a leader. Ever since he stepped onto campus, there's something special about him. And as he's gone through this kind of growing up and getting older and becoming the man that he is now. I mean, he went through, you know, the single to the married, and now he's still, the crazy thing is he's still super intense, and the way he plays football, I need everyone to have this type of motor. Yeah. And he's such a great example. And then he's super intense, but he's like super humble. He's such a great leader, and he cares about our guys. And so I need him around as long as he can, he wants to be here, you know. So I know this year is going to be it, but we're going to make the most out of it.
What has this 2-0 start to the year shown you already, Tyler, about this defense and this team?
You know, it's kind of just the proof of a lot of the hard work that we put in the offseason to get ready for this fall. You know, we're stoked. We're stoked about, you know, how we started the season. We're excited to get better, continue to get better. But we have a great locker room. We have a great group of guys on the team, and you know, our defensive unit has gelled really well in the off season, and so it's nice to finally be able to put a product on the field.
What has Jay Hill meant to the defense as a coach, and what can you say about the last 2 weeks that he and all of you have been through together?
Yeah, you know, Jay Hill means a ton to the defense. You know, the moment that, you know, he came around the team, he just brings a great energy, you know what I mean, and a great focus. He's definitely a, you know, high standards, you know what I mean, high demand, but also, you know what I mean, he'll love you up and he'll support you, you know what I mean. And so he invests in everyone individually, which I think is really cool. And so every guy on the defense know that he cares about them. And so, with that, you know, situation with him, being hospitalized, it was a scary moment, you know, and guys really, you know, took that to heart. And I think it was eye opening for some guys, like, hey, you know, you never know when things are over. So kind of let it all hang out.
You have a team, football team, then you have the offense, defense, special teams division. And then within the defense, you've got rooms and you have a defensive lineman group. What are some of your thoughts about your boys on the D-line this year?
Just stoked. Yeah, stoked for our D-line unit. Just really, really proud of the way guys have performed, you know, the past couple weeks. It's been fun to see. You know, a lot of us, we've played a long time together, right? Me and John and Blake have been here, you know, every year together. You know, we add Logan Latui, he's been with us for a couple years now, and Isaiah Banya, he's been with us for a couple years now. And so we have a really strong group of seniors, and I think under all those guys, we have, you know, great talent and great potential, and guys who are looking to work hard and make their impact. And so, you know, I really love our D-line, and I'm super excited for the rest of the season.
So, Takeda, ask you about an off-field pursuit. You were involved, I think maybe with your dad too, in using equine therapy to help children with special needs and others in that way. Is that still a part of your life?
Yeah, absolutely. So I founded Edwards Hands. It's our nonprofit, right, for equine therapy 3 years ago.
Does this go back to Coach Lamb?
It does, and I was just about to say, so its namesake is Coach Ed Lamb's son, Edward. And so, you know, during COVID, when that kind of all happened, they were down a lot riding horses with us. And we just saw such an incredible change with, you know, Coach Lamb's son, Edward, that
has autism, right?
Yes.
You have said that, huh?
Yep. Yeah. And we saw such an incredible change with him that, you know, just kind of sparked us, like, hey, we need to turn this into more than just, you know, kind of an unorganized attempt to help people into something really organized, really something substantial. And it's been slow growth, but it's been super awesome. Don't ask Coach about his experience on horses. He's not too fond of riding horses.
I mean, come on. I think a horse panics when it sees me walking up.
I think it's a great thing that you do, and I just wanted to see if that was still something that was part of your life.
No,
I think
it's been awesome.
Great. Well, coming up next, we're playing a football Mad Libs. We're calling it Bat Libs with Tyler Batty. When BYU football with Kalani Sitake continues, back at this. This is BYU football with Kalani Sitake. All right, for tonight's fun and games portion of the show, we're playing what we're calling Bat Libs. It's a variation of the game Mad Libs with Tyler Batty. Batty, Bat Libs. Here's how it works. Tyler will come up with a list of random words. We place these words into a story created by AI, because everything's AI these days. It's a story about the upcoming game between BYU and Wyoming. A disclaimer, this is all in good fun, almost entirely random, and should not be taken seriously by anyone from either school. Okay, here we go. I'm going to be asking you for a few words. Let's start off with two adjectives. I need two adjectives from you.
Ooh.
Any kind of adjectives.
Fast.
Fast.
And abrasive.
Fast and abrasive. Those are the two adjectives we're going to throw in for category one. The adjectives were fast and abrasive. Is our crew and the production crew down with that? Are they good with that? They say yes. Okay, fast and abrasive. Now we need two strong-sounding adjectives, like buff or burly, something like that.
You know? Buff and burly.
We're going to go with buff and burly. There you go. You know what? Part of me knew that when I suggested it, that's what you're going to get. Okay. Two unpleasant adjectives.
Ooh.
Like might be slimy or...
Unsightly.
Okay, unsightly is one.
And slimy.
Slimy. My suggestions are good.
Yeah.
We need an animal sound. An animal sound.
I don't have to make the sound, right?
I don't think so.
All right.
No. Yeah.
It's clarification.
I mean, it'd add to the experience.
A neigh.
Nay.
Yeah, there we go.
It's a horse sound. Nay. We have a nay. Now we need a verb. Simple verb.
Any examples? No, just kidding.
I've been pretty good at this so far.
Move.
Move. Very well. An adjective describing temperature.
Trying to think outside the box on this one.
Adjective that describes temperature.
No, we'll just go hot.
Hot?
Sure.
That
easy.
Works. A BYU wide receiver.
Cody Epps.
Cody Epps. A BYU defensive player.
Let's go with Harrison Taggart.
Harrison Taggart. A positive emotion.
Happy.
Happy. That's good. I like that. A noun. A noun could be anything. A noun.
Place.
Place. The noun is place.
Technically, that works.
That works, sure.
Person, place, or thing.
Yeah.
Place works.
We're going to use the word place as our noun?
Let's do it.
Okay. An adjective you would use in church. Faithful, joyful.
Wicked.
Oh, wicked. Okay. And then a final score of a game, a football game's final score. What a final score might be in a typical football game.
Typical?
No. What a final score might be in a football game. It's up to you whether it's typical. 56-0. Okay. I think I see where this is going. All right. So Tyler has filled in all of the words for us, and now I am going to place all those words in a story about a game. And the game is BYU at Wyoming in Laramie this Saturday. Here we go. It was a fast September evening. The buff BYU Cougars rode into an unsightly War Memorial Stadium to face off against the slimy Wyoming Cowboys. The stadium was packed with fans, all eager to see the clash of these two teams, an old rivalry, the Battle of the Great Divide. The abrasive kickoff began. BYU's quarterback, Jake Retzlaff, threw a hot pass to Cody Epps, who had an unbelievable snag downfield for a touchdown. BYU Nation erupted in happiness, as BYU scored. The Wyoming fans groaned at the play. However, the Cowboys weren't going down without a fight. Their star player took the ball and performed a moving place that left the BYU defense in awe. The score was closer than the wicked BYU fans would like. Didn't think that was going to work. In the final minutes of the game, the BYU defense made their impact. A burly stop, thanks to Harrison Taggart. The battle was back and forth. BYU leading with only seconds remaining. The quarterback for Wyoming tried one last nay to win the game. But he was smashed to the ground by Tyler Batty. As the final whistle blew, the BYU fans roared, celebrating their victory over Wyoming, 56-0. There it is.
I'm glad it went that way and it was safe.
I'm glad you had the right idea on the final score. You knew where we wanted to go with that. That was perfect. All right, after this break, in-studio Q&A for the coach and Tyler Batty and some BYU football trivia when BYU football with Kalani Sitake returns on BYU TV, BYU Radio, and ESPN Plus.
BYU Football with Kalani Sitake is brought to you by Intermountain Health, official medical provider for BYU Athletics, Smarty, Address Data Wizards, and Ken Garf. We hear you.
Welcome back to BYU Football with Kalani Sitake. Let's head to our studio audience for a weekly Q&A segment. I think we have time for a question. We're presented by Ken Garf. We hear you. We've got a mic. We've got a fan. What's your name, sir?
Elder Terry Bjarnson.
Hello, Elder. Your question.
Tyler, coach, after that fantastic, awesome hit you had, Tyler, on, I think it was a quarterback or running back, whoever.
Quarterback.
Coach, were you worried initially that that could be targeting?
Anytime Batty hits somebody, it's violent. It's violent. But I've seen that hit before, and I told Batty, it reminded me of the punt return that he forced a fumble in. I can't believe the quarterback held on to the ball. I was expecting it to pop out somewhere, but good for him having good ball security. But I think if Batty gets a hit on people, usually the ball will come out, especially that type of hit.
Okay, how do you describe the play as it developed there?
Yeah, we actually, you know, we had a pressure coming. And so I was actually technically dropping into coverage as we were running the pressure. So kind of started just moving back and just folded to the ball, really. So as I saw action away, just start kind of moving in that area. And sure enough, here comes the ball carrier. And so go hit him.
He was a little bit stood up, and you laid him out. And again, he hung onto the football. And I think when I called it initially, I was like, they better not call targeting this because that felt clean. Sometimes you know when a hit is like trademarked, that it feels like a pretty solid trademark tackle.
Yeah. No, I, you know, getting up from it, I didn't feel like it was targeting. I didn't feel like there was a whole lot of head-to-head contact. At the same time, you never really know.
Did you go back and watch it?
Yeah. And so, I mean, it was, right? It was just shoulder to shoulder.
Yeah.
But you never really know, especially in situations like that. Sometimes, you know, something like that can be called targeting. So I was a little nervous, but glad glad that it was clean and glad that they got that right.
Nobody ever wants anybody to be hurt in a game or hurt somebody, but, you know, if it's a baseball player getting it right on the sweet spot of the bat and he knows it when he hit, does that kind of describe how that kind of hit goes sometimes?
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, yeah. You, it's a solid, yeah, it's a solid hit. Yeah. It's a solid tackle. It's enjoyable for me.
Yeah.
So.
And, you know, he did, you know, survive the hit, as it
yes.
turned out. As we take another break, here's this week's trivia question presented by Breeze, the official hometown airline of BYU Athletics. All right, BYU-Wyoming, right? What is something that BYU's done against Wyoming on the football field that is never done against any other team? What is something that BYU football has done against Wyoming that it has never done against any other team? That is the question. The answer is coming up next as BYU football with Kalani Sitake continues. Welcome back to BYU football with Kalani Sitake. This is tonight's trivia question presented by Breeze, the official hometown airline of BYU Athletics. Question: what is something that BYU football has done against Wyoming that it has never done against any other team? And it happened in the first year of BYU football back in 1922. BYU played Wyoming twice in the regular season. They played each other 16 days apart. November 14th, a win in Provo. November 30th, a loss in Laramie. Only time they've played one team two times in the same regular season, and it was the first season of BYU football back in 1922. We're now celebrating, of course, 100 seasons of BYU football. All right, let's take a look at this weekend's broadcast schedule as BYU visits Laramie for the first time in 15 years. By the way, on that previous question, a few years ago, I think it was 2007, BYU played UCLA twice in the same year, but one was regular season, one was a bowl game. So not quite the same thing, but close. All right, here we go. Cougs and Cowboys, 7 o'clock Eastern, 5 o'clock Mountain for both BYU Sports Nation Game Day on BYU TV and then Cougar Pregame Live on BYU Radio. Watch the game at 9 Eastern on CBS Sports Network. Good news for those who have DirecTV and did not see the ESPN production last weekend. And you can hear it, of course, with Hans and Mitch and myself on BYU Radio. Then after the game, stay tuned to BYU TV and radio for all the great post-game coverage. Well, for the second of what will be four consecutive weeks, the Cougs will be wearing white when they line up with Wyoming. Let's check out this week's full uniform combination. We have white jerseys. We see white pants. We see a royal helmet with a royal face mask. That is the outfit for Saturday in Laramie. Tyler, I want your perspective, if you don't mind, on the 2-0 start and how it might compare to, because you were at the same place last year. You were at 2-0, you got to 3-0, and the season went the way it went. What are your thoughts about how that might or might not be informative or help this team as it maybe gets to the same spot that it was last year, hopefully?
Yeah, I think that's a great question. Last season was a great season for us in the sense of learning, right? I think we learned a ton from last season. I think we took a ton away from last season. So I think headed into this fall, like you mentioned, 2-0, looking to go 3-0 and continue on throughout the season. I think just the experience of having it gone the way we would not have liked for it to go has helped guys realize what it will take to change that. And so, you know, that's really what we're looking forward to is just, one, you know, this game this weekend and just going and you know, doing our best there and taking care of business. But like you mentioned, throughout the rest of the season, just taking it week by week and just trying to win it, right, week by week. And I think the rest will handle itself.
Kalani, it's been 15 years since BYU played in Laramie, which used to be an every other year thing for whether it was you at Utah or you with BYU. You've had a lot of experiences up there. Your thoughts about being back in Laramie, back at War Memorial, back in front of Cowboy fans and playing the Cowboys again at their place.
Yeah, looking forward to the game. I mean, this is my first time being there in September, so that's going to be nice. I mean, the weather's looking great, and I think it's a beautiful part of the country. Looking forward to that game, and it's great to go into an environment where you have fans that love their team, and I know we'll have representation in Royal Blue as well.
And kind of like when you go to, say, West Virginia, no pro teams in that state. Like, it's all about West Virginia football. Yeah. You go to Wyoming, that's the show, right? Yeah, everyone in the state cares about the team.
It's such a special game and why so many people love it, and we're looking forward to being at our best and being in this environment and bonding together as a team like we do when we go on the road.
We hope the best for L.J. Martin and Hinkley Ropati. They're probably not going to go this week, so you want your backup backs to be ready to go and all hands on deck, right?
Yep, we have a lot of confidence in our depth and in our team. And like Batty said, we're really good at learning from last year to this year. This is a whole different team.
Tyler, I'm glad we got to see the deep blue on you last week, and I'm really glad that you came into studio. Thanks for being with us tonight.
Absolutely. Thanks for having me.
You're awesome. Kalani, good luck to you and the guys this weekend in Laramie.
Appreciate it.
And folks, thanks for being here. Glad to have you here. We'll see you.